This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It is Wednesday, it's the 10th of April, 2024. Coming up, more conversations on Pi and more of your feedback on a wide range of topics.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
You know what, Sean Preece, I'm sorry about that introduction. I apologize. I'm going to apologize for the first time ever in my radio existence. Yes, I know.
Oh, dear.
Tell me about it.
Why are you apologizing, Stephen Scott?
Well, the title wasn't great, was it? It was a bit of a poor title. But you know why? Because there's not a lot going on. It's quiet in the news world at the minute.
We've been scouring, if that's the proper word, all our internet feeds everywhere looking for the breaking news, and there just isn't much out there.
No, there's just not a lot. Not a lot going on.
Keep listening. What a way to start the show. We could find
There's nothing happening.
But luckily enough, we've got amazing listeners.
Well, yeah, because as you well know, we have tons of emails.
We get emails.
We get your email every day.
Here comes Dean.
Eight! Oh, that's cruel. Poor Dean.
I'm so sorry. I'm not.
Kind of gets in trouble again.
Anyway,
this is why we have no news is bad, because you start getting mischievous.
I've got to say, I'm excited to hear more about Pi.
Yeah, well, we are going to kick off with that in just a sec. I want to say, though, before we get into this.
No, I want to talk about Pi.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I promise you, we will talk about Pi, but just for a second,
Yes. Can
we have a cup of tea with that Pi?
Oh.
Because I want to talk about tea. I'm very excited today because I think I may be on the cusp of, well, this won't work, but I'll try it.
What Stephen bought this week?
Well, let's change that. What Stephen might buy this week is a new hot cup dispenser. Is that what they call it?
Stop.
One cup dispenser. One cup dispenser. You cannot silence me, please.
Is it called one cup
I want accessible
hot cup?
Tea. I think it's called one cup.
I'm sure I've heard it called hot cup as well.
Yeah, I think it's Breville, the company Breville. They call it, that's their brand for it. They call it the hot cup. I was getting mixed up.
So,
yes, it's the one cup.
We should explain what that is for people that may not know.
If you'd let me talk, I would happily have done it.
All right, sorry. What is that, Stephen Scott?
I'm glad you asked, Sean Preece. So, you know the situation, right? You're going to make a cup of tea.
No.
You've got to boil the kettle.
Yes.
And you think, oh, nice cup of tea. But then, of course, you can't, you know, you're thinking to yourself, goodness me, I'm boiling a whole kettle of water for just me, for little old me to have a cup of tea.
Yes.
That seems a bit wasteful. And normally, as you know, I don't care about things like that.
No.
But on this occasion, I thought, well, that, you know, that's not ideal. And also, you know, kettles, they come with the challenges. You know, boiling water, aiming into a cup, not flooding the house, even with your liquid level indicator. Even, strange, right? Even with a liquid level indicator, I still manage to flood the house.
I don't know
how that is possible.
This current kettle that I'm using right now, it's got a very short spout, which I prefer, and I rest it on the rim of the mug, and I still manage to just everywhere. There's always, I've got a roll of kitchen roll next to my tea making area just for that, just for mopping it up. It's impossible. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. You get a tray. And you use the lip, you put the tea, if you put the cup on the tray,
yeah,
it means that if you do get a flood, you can sort of take the tray and then, you know, attempt to get that.
And then spill that
into
all
the
over
sink
your
and then spill
kitchen
it on the
carpet.
Floor. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's all.
Kitchen carpet.
In your case, a carpet, yeah. I mean, my kettle, it's a, what I call a Stephen Scott kettle.
Oh.
In that it has a very large mouth.
Ah, barely works. Yes.
You might say that, and I possibly should agree for legal reasons. But yeah, so that's the problem, right? You end up with water sort of just comes out of everywhere. You're like, where is this water even coming from? And I am not a good judge. I always struggle with filling the kettle. That's the challenge, actually.
Oh, really?
The bigger challenge. How much water to put in?
Overfilling. Well, you fill the cup
overfilling
and then throw
it, yeah,
the cup in, not the entire cup.
Well, that's, yeah, you could do
that.
I
never do that. I just fill it to the top. It's fine.
Yeah, me too. I never know where the end is. So it's like, so I suddenly end up there's water coming out of it as it's boiling.
So what's the answer, Stephen Scott?
The answer is one cup. So what a one cup does is basically, if you think of like those coffee machines you have where you put a cup underneath it and there's a little spout above, and then you push a button and the hot water fills up the mug or the cup or whatever you're using to the desired amount and no more, that's basically what one cup does. So a one cup, it just puts out boiling hot water, boils it instantly, and then it fills up your mug. And you put the mug under it, and you can set the... It depends on the type you buy. You can get very simple ones that just fill it up, and you obviously have to make sure your mug is a certain size, and then that mug will fill up with the water. So basically, one cup is exactly that. It will just fill up one cup of water. But you're only ever boiling for that one cup.
For what you need, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quicker
as well. And
that's
pretty
cool. Yeah, yeah.
So it's very quick, very quick. So I'm thinking of getting one of those because I kind of want a cup of tea. I drink a lot of coffee. Right?
You've got and a like coffee machine though, haven't you? Got one of those Tassimos or something?
Sometimes I want tea, Sean Preece.
Okay. Well, yes, I'm all for one of those, except I don't only use my kettle only for making tea or coffee. What about hot water bottles? How would that work?
See, you're as bad as my wife. We have this argument every time as well. Yep. She keeps saying, yeah, but what about this? What about this? I'm not suggesting we get rid of the kettle.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not saying we banish the kettle.
How big is your workspace area in your kitchenette? I haven't got space for multiple gadgets. What about if I'm boiling an egg for my breakfast? I like to boil the kettle and then pour it into the pan. It's quicker. Maybe not, but...
hang on. A, I'll help you here. Put the egg into the kettle. Hit boil. There you go.
Hit boil. Okay.
Well, the on button. Right?
Everyone's tea will now taste of egg, but hey, it's fine.
You've got a boiled egg out of it.
Okay, so there you go.
I think that works.
There's a one.
Don't try that. Please don't try that at home in case that doesn't work. I'm sure I read that does work somewhere, but I have no knowledge of it. I can feel emails coming in on that one already. But look, there's lots of different types of devices you can get. They're getting smarter all the time. The other thing that's quite cool is a lot of them are getting larger tanks because what you don't want to be doing is constantly filling the thing up. Oh, they often come with quite small tanks.
Yep.
The Tassimo coffee machines are really bad for that.
Yes.
I found one today from Cook's Professional. Don't know this name, but I don't know how widely known that brand is, but Cook's Essential, or Cook's Professional, I should say, have one, and it's 2.5 litre. The tank is 2.5 litre.
Now, I don't know.
Well, in comparison... You're normally talking about 0.7 of a litre, so 700 millilitres, which if you just think about it, it's like a little bit bigger than a standard bottle of water.
Yeah,
that's what you're putting into, say, one of those Tassimo machines, whereas this is 2.5 litres, so big bottle of pop, as far as you're concerned.
Yes, but the amount of coffee you drink, I'm not sure how long that would last, but no, you're absolutely right.
No, that's a problem.
We've got one of those... I'll stop saying Tassimo. That's almost, there are other brands.
That's the one
available.
Most people know, right? But that's the one.
I've got one of those pod machines in the dining room, but no one ever uses it for exactly that reason. You got to keep filling it up. And I thought, I'll take it into the, I'll bring it into the shed with me. It means I could have a cup of tea or a chocolate or something. But no, I'm going to have to keep filling it up. I know it'll just, every time I want to use it, it'll be empty. So, yeah.
So I'll let you know how that goes. That may be my purchase to myself this week. I'm also, is it bad to be excited about getting slippers?
Yes. But at my age, I totally understand it. But yes, he says as I'm wearing slippers right now.
Me too, but not the ones I want, which are on their way today. I may get interrupted. Remember the days I used to always get interrupted on this show with doorbells ringing? Well, it's probably going to happen today because my slippers are coming. And I am so excited. I cannot understand why, but I have been reviewing so many slippers. You know, I want memory foam.
Reading the reviews.
Fleece lined. I want rubber grip soles. You know, I've got very, you know, special requirements for my slippers.
You definitely
and I'm hoping
have.
these ones that I've bought for $5 is worth it.
Wow, you can tell it's a Wednesday show and there's no news. So far we've talked about making cups of tea and slippers. Oh dear, let's get to the emails.
I think that this show is aging along with the hosts. That's how this show is working. It's like, that's where we're at the moment. We'll be discussing denture cream soon enough.
Say, let's talk about our medication.
Yeah.
I'm on statins now. There you go. Oh, how old do I feel?
Well done. Well done.
What do you mean, well done?
I don't know what statins are for. What was that for?
I don't know.
Does that make you better?
I'll tell you how bad it is. Way? The doctor actually rang me up and said, we think you should be on statins. I said, okay, whatever you say.
It's not good when that call out comes in, right?
No, but hey-ho.
Anyway, let's move on with the emails. We do have plenty to get through, so let's start with Tom, who you might remember got in touch the other day about pie, and we kicked off talking about that with quite a lengthy email from Tom on this topic.
Yes.
Here he is again with a much shorter email this time, but going on to this topic of pie, the AI assistant again. This, of course, read by Laura.
Hi, guys. Just a quick update on the Pi, your personal AI assistant situation. I will let Pi's own words on the topic clarify. Wow, Tom, it seems like there's been some big news in the AI world. You're correct. Microsoft has just announced that they've hired Mustafa Suleiman, the co-founder of Inflection AI, to run their new consumer AI unit. They've also hired several other employees from Inflection AI, including Karen Simonyan, another co-founder. However, it's important to note that Microsoft has not purchased Inflection AI itself. They've just hired some of their key employees. This comes on the heels of Inflection AI raising a massive $1.3 billion in funding last year, so it's certainly a surprising development. What do you think of this move? And this morning, I heard that Microsoft has announced the creation of an AI division with the aforementioned folks from Inflection heading it up. Interesting. Some may wonder how these general AI goings-on are relevant in the visually impaired community. I think you guys have discussed this, but I just want to concur that there are so many ways that AI is affecting assistive technology, but at a very simple level, the chat research assistants cut through lots of tedium for us. Simply asking the assistants to find something is huge. It saves so much time, effort, and frustration by not having to comb through horrendously cluttered websites to get to information we need. Anyway, thanks for listening to my ramblings and possibly sharing these thoughts with your audience, and thanks so much for the work you do. I've been impressed with the breadth and depth of what you cover. It's been very helpful for me. I must admit, when I first started listening, I found your messing about and tangents a bit annoying, but now I've come to appreciate it.
Aww.
Best wishes, Tom.
Yeah.
Slippers and tea. I'm so sorry, Tom.
I don't think we've reached that standard today. I can tell you 12 minutes in, we're probably not there today. But thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're used to us by now. I think we've both calmed down a little bit from the early days. It's funny when you go back and you listen to some of the earlier shows. It is kind of funny, the amount of messing around we did, but also some of the more serious stuff we did talk about.
Sorry, are you saying we've matured like cheese?
I think it's always been a mature show, just wrapped up in a very yellow wrapper.
Okay. You know? I don't know what that means.
You know, that's kind of fun. Nonsense.
Yellow fun. Okay.
Yellow fun.
Don't know what he's talking about, Tom.
We'll not use that as a title.
Pie. Thanks for getting back. And yes, it's interesting that you're getting that response. When I brought it up when this story first broke, a few weeks ago now, I believe, she was very much saying, no, that hasn't happened. We got to the point because I just kept saying, it's happened, you've been bought. I was almost goading her. And then Pie said to me, I think you're antagonizing me here. So it all got a little bit,
wow.
I know. Yes, it's very good. But yes, that's. I like how they've updated it. And I've got to say, again, I know I keep going on about Pi, and Tom's points about the accessibility absolutely are correct. There are some accessibility issues there. But I was using it yesterday, asking it, can you give me a suggestion for a laptop? And it was just so good, because you can just going through a Google search is absolutely fine, and we're all so used to it now, but just trying to find that information directly that you want, you know, as you mentioned, using a screen reader and assistive tech, and you're absolutely right, trying to drill down into a paragraph, trying to find the price or whatever, simply being able to ask your AI, you know, can you say that model number again and sort of explain it to me. And it explained what the numbers meant and what the letter meant at the end. That's for the silver version or whatever. And that means it's an i7. Yeah. That sort of information and that conversation I was having with it, you just can't beat it. It was so good.
So, you know, those of you who have been listening long enough will know that last year, sadly, our little dog Dougal passed away. And it's been a tough year for obvious reasons. And this year, led by my wife, because I'm not taking any responsibility with the decision.
No.
For good reason, because it's up to her. But when she was ready, we agreed that we would get another dog. And we're at that stage. And we can tell you that today, our little new dog has just been born. He has just arrived in the world. And we'll be receiving him in a few weeks. When we get back from holiday, we will get him. The breeder will be doing looking after and making sure everything's good and doing all the appropriate checks as a good breeder should. So once that's all done, we'll have our lovely new dog. So you can expect this show to be utter chaos going forward with whining dogs in the background, which will be lovely. I'm sure Coco the guide dog can't wait. But, you know, in the process of doing this, my wife has been doing a lot of research online about the type of breed that she wanted to go for. She's methodical. She's the exact opposite of me. And, you know, I'm just like, dog, four legs, tail, head. There you go, done.
Yes.
But she does some serious, proper research into this. And as part of that, we, or she would sit at night and she would ask Lady A questions about the breed. And the breed we've gone for is a sheepadoodle. So it's a mix between an Old English sheepdog and a poodle. And so many questions around the type of care, how you should look after, type of food they should eat, lots of things. Yes. Also, what are they like? What's their personality? And Lady A just kept coming back with the same answer every single time. And so I set her up with Pi. And I said, ask it questions. Ask it your questions. But don't ask it questions, talk to it. Just like you were saying about having a conversation. And it took her a few goes because she would say things, you know, it would give an answer and it would say, do you want to know more? And she would just say, yes.
Yeah.
And I'd say, well, no. Get into it a bit more. Have a conversation with her. How would you talk to a human in this? So she proceeds to get into this. And, she, you know, I just left her for about an hour. She had this conversation, but she gets so much information out of it that she wouldn't have necessarily got, or she would have had to get by searching for it, as exactly as you were saying, Tom. You'd have to go off and do so much research on different websites to get the specific answer that you want. And I think back to the time when I had started on some new medication for my health and I wanted to know about the impact, for example, coffee might have, and couldn't find much online that would give me the answer I was looking for. Because the kind of question when you put it into Google, there was nothing that no one had answered it in that specific way, right? So that's where AI comes in. It can join all the dots. It could give me the answer. And it gave me a pretty good answer, actually. And when I checked it with the doctor said, yeah, actually, that's a fairly good piece of advice. It wasn't medical advice. It was more just life advice, sensible advice, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, something you can take or not. You know, medical advice is something they do encourage you not to take from these devices yet or these services yet, because with the risk of hallucinations and all of that, you know, you don't want to be risking anything.
Yeah.
If you've got a health issue, go to a doctor. You know, that's the first port of call, it must be. But I find the use of it incredible and incredibly personal. You can, you know, you very quickly go from, oh, cool, it tells me the time, as we used to with Lady
yes.
A.
Is it raining outside? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. To really serious conversations about philosophical things or, you know, stuff. I just, you know, I love the conversations I have with it. And I think it's more than just a research tool, although it is, but it's research that you actually learn from.
Well, it's funny you say that, because it comes, it's the personal AI, and it describes itself, and its whole root is in the sociable manner of it. It's a social AI, and how I heard about it was someone saying, I heard my husband talking to a woman. And I wondered who it was, talking about how Manchester United were doing and laughing away. Yeah. But I actually think, of course, that's why I tried it out. I was thinking Call Annie, things like that. But I quickly realized this can do current, up-to-date searches. You know, it searches the internet for you right now. I find it a great research tool, because there's times where I've asked a question and it's got the wrong end of the stick, as in the name that I used for something. But I can quickly say, oh, no, hang on, I was talking about this. And the way you interact with it quickly disappears. It becomes invisible. It's, as you said, just having a conversation. You know,
and it's almost like it recognizes it, right? It's, oh, yeah, of course, you're right. Sorry, I got the wrong end. It's clever. And that's, I guess, what makes us... I feel a connection with it. This is kind of going back to that point I keep making about this dog that I was telling you about, the Sony dog. You know, you keep saying, it's just a lot of nonsense. But
yes.
I don't know. I think if you can start engaging and having a connection that doesn't feel that it's been preset.
That's the thing, yes.
That's the bit when we start to cross over from this just being a piece of tech to actually something that we can I still go on about the fact that there are lots of people even listening to this right now, maybe you listening to this show, and you're thinking, well, I don't maybe have someone else to talk to, so this is the conversation I need. I know people listen to this show for that reason, because we are a conversation in their lives that maybe someone else can have, but or couldn't have because they don't have people around. But this allows you to get into a conversation and not have someone else around to have that conversation. I think that's a really important thing. So I think, yeah, it's great for accessibility. And of course, it's brilliant for the web and searching and researching, because I know how much I hate going online with a screen reader. I just hate it. I always lost, and I'm stuck behind cookie banners and pop-ups, and I just get fed up so quickly. I'm very impatient online. This allows me to cut through all of that.
Yeah.
And this is only going to get better. I mean, we're the worst it can ever be right now.
Yes, and
that's the truth. It's the
impressive.
Worst it can ever be today. And actually, it's not bad at this point.
Apart from, of course, those unlabeled buttons, the accessibility issues that Tom brought up previously. Absolutely true. Yeah. If they could just sort that out, this would be perfect. I even went on the website today, tried that out. I actually asked Pi on the website, can I talk to you using a microphone, using the website? It said, no, you can only do that on the app. So it seems to have updated itself, but still worthwhile if you can make your way through those accessibility problems.
There's other large language models to try out, though. I mean, I think Gemini from Google is getting better. I think the rebrand was a smart move on Google's part, because Bard just had such a bad reputation.
Yeah.
Out of the gate, it was having problems. But I kind of tend to think, look, we're at day one here, right? I mean, I get that some of these companies maybe have moved a bit too quickly, but then they kind of have to, right? Because someone's always going to jump first. And the people who play catch-up, I mean, it's always interesting to me, because there's a sense of the one that's first will get it right over time. And that anyone who comes later is, you know, making a mistake. And then Apple come along and just completely destroy that, because they always come late to everything. That's what they do. And in some ways, and I said this a couple of years back, or I mean, last year on the show, I feel that if Apple, this is one area where Apple could get it wrong. Because they do not work well at moving fast. Their whole modus operandi. Oh. I surprised myself there. But it's to
Hello,
basically
Poirot.
Go slow.
Yes.
Thank you. It's to go slow, right? It's to take their time and get things right and you know, work up to something, hence Vision Pro and all of that. But I think this is one area they need to pick up the speed, because it's moving too quick. This is all moving too quick. And I think if, you know, iOS 18 will be the beginning of this, but they're going to have to employ different tactics to keep up with the rest. Because once this is on the move, you know, Siri is going to very quickly date itself if it's not keeping up to date.
I can barely use my smart speakers.
Given up
now.
On it.
Just Siri and, you know, Lady A, it just seems so, oh, come on. So, I think you're absolutely right. Interesting news, though, that Apple, I don't know if this is a rumor or officially recognized, that Apple have licensed Shutterstock images for training their AI model.
Oh, yeah, I read that, yeah.
I mean, so it shows that they're definitely training up their model, so they must have something, you know, the realm that we talked about earlier, as they're calling it. I'm very interested.
And licensed content rather than public content, which is interesting. That does sound very Apple.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, total aside here, and I'll get to the emails in a minute. I apologize. And you know me, I go off on one, but I saw something online the other day, and it's been interesting. This whole conversation we've been having about people, I've noticed, talking more about Mac recently. And, you know, moving not necessarily away from Windows, but if they're considering a new computer, they're certainly looking at Mac.
Okay.
Just in the last couple of weeks, I've seen the opposite starting to happen.
Oh, right.
So there's now a lot of people saying, I wouldn't touch Mac if you paid me. Or, goodness me, I'd rather get rid of this thing tomorrow and get a new Windows machine. Or, hey, I'm thinking of buying a new computer, I'm going to buy Windows. And I just find it clearly is, there's no answer to this other than people are obviously making choices, and I don't think there's any, and I never said it, if anybody writes it and says, but you said, I didn't say there was a big exodus too. I said there appears to be a shift in attitude.
Did you?
I did. That's exactly what I said.
Funny there's some way to go back.
There will be with AI and transcripts now and podcasts. Yeah, I'm sure you probably can go back and check. But no, I did. I said that, look, there appears to be a change in the air. But there's also, it seems to be, the other opinion is true as well, which is interesting. So it feels like there's lots of people, this is how it feels in my head, there's lots of people getting ready to depart on a journey to the other side.
Yes.
And the people who have already reached the other side are coming back.
Sounds very morbid, but yes.
Okay. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm going on holiday. I can't wait to get there. And the people that have arrived are going, goodness me, this place is terrible. I'm going home.
I'm ready to go to my own bed now. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. But like I said, I think
this, you know what that says.
It's very, very, this goes in cycles anyway. You find this all the time, no matter what the tech. People get bored with what they've got. Grass is greener, and come back.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think there is truth, though, in the fact that VoiceOver on the Mac is not performing as well as it should.
I've seen a lot of disquiet about Safari on the Mac lately.
People moving, well, that's the other thing. People who are on the Mac are looking at other browsers and saying, go to Chrome, go to Edge, go to something else. Do not use Safari because it's slow, because it's the not responding is back. No one wanted that sequel.
No.
So, you know, it's as welcome as Police Academy 8. So, you know, I think it's kind of worrying to me that, you know, VoiceOver's in the state it's in. And I say worrying because it's the only game in town. And this is why I think people have got it actually quite sensible when they move to PC, because you've got three choices. If JAWS doesn't work for you, you can download Narrator, or you can turn on, NVDA, and you can turn on Narrator if you want.
Yeah.
And I think that's the winner with PC. And also, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it, if I was recommending, and it's hard to recommend a machine en masse. I get a lot of people asking me this, what should I buy, what should I buy? And I always ask individual questions about that, because you can't just say there's one solution. Everybody thinks, when it's me, oh, you'll just say Mac. I actually don't. Most of the time I say PC, because it depends on what the person's doing. If it's a lot of, if it's college work, or it's uni work, or it's specific work around spreadsheets and Word documents and lots of data-driven content, then you want a PC, I think.
Yeah, and plus the environment you're working or learning in. You know, if they're all using Macs, then obviously it's probably best to go for the Mac. But
I don't think I would say, honestly, I don't think I would say if you're into audio, because I know that Greg has hit me with this a few times, and he's right to an extent, but I think I wouldn't necessarily say to someone who's into audio production that a Mac is the answer. I would say a PC is equal on that level. I would say that you have to look past that particular thing and then look at what else you're going to do with it, and that makes your decision. Because I think the Mac is okay for... To me, the Mac is for video editors. That's what the Mac really is. If you're going into video production and you're ever going to do video stuff, you want a Mac. That's honestly the truth, I believe. Because it is, you know, it has a range of different options available, lots of different softwares available, and it's got the structure, it's got the build in it, it's got the capability for the hardware to manage to do it and do it well. Unless you're spending a heck of a lot of money on a PC.
Yes.
It can be done, of course it can, but I think, I don't know. If you look into a lot of production houses, that's what they're using. Using Macs.
Again, so about the surrounding environment, yeah.
In our world, it's no doubt that Windows PCs are more popular. No doubt at all. Because you have access to more screen readers, you've access to more, more software options, depending on what you want to do, especially with audio and all the rest of it. I think you have more choices. And Rebecca said this the other day, and it's such a good point, it's worth echoing. Rebecca emailed in and said, you know, one of the things about Apple is that they're on sort of inbuilt apps, the apps that come with the device, they're accessible, and they are.
Yes.
And with Windows Spots, I think they've become even more accessible, which is wonderful. But it's the third-party apps that there are definitely problems with. There are many, many apps I download to try that just do not work with VoiceOver. And that's disappointing. That's really disappointing.
And that's from Stephen Scott. So there you go. Stephen says, everyone go to Windows.
I'll always tell you the truth. That's my finding. I think you have to decide, because there's plenty of people who could come on and say, look, there's issues with Windows, and we could have this argument all day.
Of course there is.
But the reality is, there are issues on both sides. I think it gets to a point of what you're willing to put up with.
Yeah.
That's it for me. What are you willing to put up with? You will find challenges with VoiceOver. For sure. If you're willing to stick with it, as I am, then fine. Okay. But you have to kind of accept that. However, there's also the option of putting Windows on that machine, so you could solve your problem there. You could put Windows on the PC, on the Mac if you wanted to, and you can have best of both worlds if you want to go down that route. I don't think it's the perfect solution, but it's a way of doing it. If you only use, say, one application on the PC side, that might be worth it.
Yeah.
But if you're needing to have that guarantee that you've got almost 100% control of your system all the time, buy a PC. There you go.
That's wow. Me.
Said it.
And after that, thank you very much, Tom, for that short email that you sent us.
Thanks for the short email. Apologies for the long answer. Listen, we'll come back, and I promise you we will get into more than one email today. This is Double Tap.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us, feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Hey, listen, Sean, just got a message from you-know-who.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's saying, can we get through at least one more email before the end of the show? Okay, fine, all right.
Let's do it. Goodness. We're gonna crack on now and get through all of them.
How can I be expected to work in this environment? It's a talk show. And my job is to talk.
High pressure environment. I know. Yes. Wow. We're so sorry. Okay. Here we go. Next email.
Okay. Fine. Right. Here's Peter.
Hi, Stephen, Sean, and all Double Tappers. It's Pete from Robin Hood County. Hoping all is well. No rambling today, guys.
Not
Here's
for you.
A thought for you. You're out and about wearing your smart glasses. You all know the brands. And you pop into a restaurant, you have something to eat, and then you need the restroom. And now we come to the problem. Do you take your smart glasses off and go in using your white cane, which is probably what I would do? Or do you go with your smart glasses on, and if there's a few other people in there, they may say, what are you doing in here with a camera on your glasses, you strange person? Just a thought there.
Okay.
Then we turn to the AI and language mining from all these large language models. At some point, probably in about 3 years or so, it's all going to dry up and they're going to have to start data sharing. What do you think to that? And will there be a paywall for that as well? Everybody's putting up a paywall for everything. Just a thought there. And before I go, Dean, cheer up, mate. Life's too short. Bye, guys. Take care.
Cheer up, Dean.
Oh, no.
Peter says, just cheer up.
This feels like we're picking on Dean. This, I was so sorry, Dean. You do you. It's you absolutely fine. You'd have to cheer up at all.
You picked up on him. Yeah. You picked on
no,
him.
No, I never. Yeah, I did. Sorry, Dean.
Pete did. I didn't.
So, the so bad. That's a very interesting point, though, about smart glasses. Now, like you, Peter, I would take them off. I don't need them in the bathroom area, in the restroom. But I don't think anyone would say anything. You know, blind guy with smart glasses on, people would be just, they assume they're for something. But it's one of those tech and social shifting. Bluetooth headsets, you know, using mobile phones anyway. I think people would just get used to it. But you're right, it is basically a camera you're taking into a restroom. That does sound weird.
Yeah, I mean, well, it goes back to the argument we made a long time ago. I always said, remember, that Apple would never produce a pair of glasses that you walk around with because, you know, they wouldn't want to be the company that had that kind of device. You know, if you imagine going to a dad taking their kid to a play group or something, and then there's other kids there, that could raise all kinds of moral issues, right? You know, it's always very difficult with this kind of technology. Then, of course, Apple come up with the Apple Vision Pro, which isn't for outdoors, to be fair, but, you know, you've got Meta glasses. They've now got the cameras in them. I think from my point of view, I kind of forget what other people can see. Does that make sense?
No, so I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
I can't see these cameras on these glasses. I've looked really close and I can't see the camera. I don't know where it is. I can feel what I think it must be, but I can't tell if it is or not. So yeah, I guess I just forget people can see them. I also would forget I was wearing them, to be perfectly honest.
That's what I thought as well. Yeah, hopefully you get to the point where you just assume they're there and just never want to take them off.
I also hate to say this, and I know people won't like me for saying this, and I'm sorry, but let's be totally honest about it. Do you honestly think people are going to corner us about it? Do you think, I mean, if most people don't even think we're smart enough to have had an education, do you think we're going to be cornered on wearing smart glasses? Really? They're just going to say, get out the road or the blind guy, right? It's going to be
exactly my
swinging
point.
Swinging a cane about, everyone gets out your way. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And of course, no one's wanting to talk to you now in a bathroom, right? So,
no, that's true. Silence. That's the golden rule.
It's not a social environment that I want to interact with anybody. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting point, though. Good point.
Would you use your phone?
Social question.
Would you use something like Aira or Be My Eyes to help you locate a toilet?
I'm not going to answer that, and I'll tell you why. Because we've got a message coming up.
Oh, okay.
Which I think will link into this, actually. So we'll park that one, right? Because, yeah, I don't want to waste this conversation. In fact, we'll do that conversation in just a second. We do have a question. CC in Montreal knows exactly what I'm talking about right now. Yes, I will get to your message in just a minute, CC. As for the AI data mining, I don't really know how I feel about all this yet. Because you're talking about companies sharing the data. I mean, I kind of imagine that's probably going to happen sooner rather than later anyway. There's always new data going to be added, though, isn't there? There's always going to be new public data. I think what the holy grail, really, I think, for a lot of these companies is to be able to use your data on your device. That would be the dream, because then everything can be offloaded onto the device, and then that can make the whole thing more personalized to you, which means they can push more advertising your way, that you're going to actually engage with, which makes them more money long term. That's how I can see it going.
Yeah, I mean, is it ever going to run out, though? I mean, the material for training devices or AI, I don't know if it's ever going to run out.
Not if we're all uploading all the time. You know, we're all uploading content constantly.
Yeah, I would hope.
Was it?
Sorry, come on.
No, I was going to say, was it Microsoft or was it Google? I can't remember which one it was that was using YouTube videos for a training.
Oh, well, no, we don't know yet. Nobody knows. That's the official line.
That wouldn't surprise me. Would it? Yeah, I mean, no, if it was, but Google, it's against YouTube's, their company.
They're not allowed to. YouTube don't allow that in their T&Cs. So Google don't know if that happened or not.
No. I think this is not, it's not an accusation. It's a fact, isn't it? That they were using.
Oh, it wasn't Google. Sorry, Microsoft. I'm thinking OpenAI have said that for their video. Sora video feature that they're not sure if it was trained on YouTube videos or not. And Google.
No, I think this is a different story. Okay. I'll check this, but I'm pretty sure there was a company, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was Google because it's their company, that they were using the YouTube. I mean, these are YouTube videos that are public videos. So to me, that is. I mean, you can argue the case, but I would have been less concerned about using that kind of content. You know, versus, you know, uploading my images that I've taken myself and, you know, using them. I wouldn't want them doing that.
Yeah. I would hope that somewhere in the future there would be an open source data set of whatever it may be. I know a good few years ago there was something happening with computer vision where, you know, pictures and images of different objects at different angles, different distances was all being taken and collated into an open source computer vision model that could be used. I don't know what happened with that. I don't know if that's still going or what. But I would hope the same would happen with AI, where there would be hey, here's the large language model data set that anything can use. You just plug into.
Everyone's looking for the edge, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But it's like streaming services, I think. You know, but we see a lot of these AI companies emerging, they can't all survive. This year especially, I think, is going to be the year we're going to start to see companies either fall, on the streaming side, those companies start to fall, or alternatively, you know, connect up or get bought out by others. I think that's going to be the case. I think I said this back at the end of last year. This is going to be the year where you start to see a bit more consolidation because, you know, you can't possibly have all these companies offering all these different subscription models. It's going to have to merge up at some point to be sustainable long term because you can't have that spread like that. It just weakens the offer.
But who's going to roll over and say, okay, you're now king of streaming or you're king of AI?
Well, I don't think anyone rolls over. I think the bigger one buys and that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be you know, Apple buys Netflix, or, you know, I don't know, Disney, Warner Brothers, whoever buys whoever, right? That's going to be how it works. It started already. It started with TV networks. It's going to definitely happen in streaming. And the same will happen with AI companies. You know, we'll have two or three big companies in the end, and you'll have lesser choice, but arguably more sustainable models.
And then a case from the DOJ.
Argument
a
as
DOJ.
Well. And, yeah, exactly. Not that's the dog, right. And then another DOJ. Issue. Yeah. Listen, let's get a comment from Shazad, who wants to comment on Windows 10.
Hello, Stephen, Sean, and Mr. F, and all the gang of Double Tap.
Hey.
I hope you are fine. I'm willing to say that I am using Windows 10, and I find that it is useful for me to use. And I feel that by restricting Windows 10, because not many people like Windows 11. Also, Stephen, we need to realize that Sean is an excellent presenter, and I think you don't give him much credit that you should be giving to him.
Oh.
But then us RP people need to stick together.
Yep, I'm with
I
you.
I hope you are enjoying your clock and your Blair calendar. And I also agree with you, Stephen, that this issue with the voice stream becoming a subscription, again, is going to be on those who can afford it. I hope you are all well, and this is Shazad Bukhari from Birmingham. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shazad. Appreciate the comment, as always. Well, some of it.
I especially do. Thank you so much.
I give you credit. I've been nice to you once. I'm sure. I almost remember the day. Because it was just the one occasion.
No, you're fantastic, Stephen. Thank you. Oh God,
you're
good.
Right, I am.
Yes.
No egos here.
There are so many topics there. Hang on, I've tried to call back.
Well, Windows 10 was
Windows
the key,
10,
really.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so that's following on, I'm guessing, from the story that Windows 10 support is ending soon. Again, it doesn't mean you're not going to be able to use it, though, Shazad, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. And I totally get how people... it's something we come across so many times, no matter what topic we're talking about, is that fear of changing something that we're used to, especially as screen reader users. You know, it does make there's that fear factor there. So I get that. I actually find the transition to Windows 11 quite nice. I didn't really have an issue with it because I'm just using keyboard shortcuts. And for the most part, it was exactly the same as Windows 10. I had much more difficulty from Windows, 7 to Windows 8. I mean, that,
oh God, yeah,
with
that's
the start
terrible.
Screen, oh, it was just dreadful. Awful, wasn't it? From Windows 10, even from
Vista?
Windows 7 to Windows 11, even Vista wasn't too bad. It was okay.
It wasn't great, though, was it? It was a pretty poor operating system at that point.
It had a few issues when it came to using drivers, and it would crash a lot, yes. But, I mean, the entire shift with the start menu to the start screen was just so jarring in Windows 8. It just, and plus there were accessibility issues anyway. It wasn't great. But I agree. Use whatever you like. If Windows 10 is working for you, stick with it. There's no real reason to change.
Total geek out moment, right? Last operating system. There's a game you can play at home. Last operating system I ever bought in a box was Windows Vista. And the last Mac operating system I ever bought in a box was Snow Leopard.
Really? Have you still got them?
I don't know. I maybe have the CD somewhere. I've probably got one of those CD cases lying around somewhere. Remember the ones you'd always
take all the CDs boxes.
Out there? Yeah.
You used to have a shelf. It was like a bookshelf full of, but they were never the same size. So it was never uniform.
That's right. I know. What was that about? I know. Some were like video cassette size. Some were more like CDs themselves. Yeah, it was kind of strange, but I loved it. And I think there was something about that. I remember getting them and then getting on the bus, coming home and so excited about the install. And you'd take a day, you know, because you obviously needed a day.
Of course you did.
Didn't need a day, but you needed a day. and you would update your system and then it wouldn't work. And you'd spend the next day restarting everything from scratch. And oof. And had you bought the upgrade version or the full version? That was another thing.
Oh,
remember that?
The youth today don't know they're born. They
don't know they're born. You need downloading to reset a PC, they just click a button. Then it was off to the shops we go. But yeah, good old days in some ways as well. Okay, moving on. Thank you, Shazad. I know you mentioned some other topics in there. I want to also say that message came in before the announcement about Voice Dream Reader relenting on their need to subscribe to continue using or uploading new documents to the app. That has obviously now since changed. They've changed their view on that. And now you do not need to have the subscription. The app will continue. But if you want new features going forward, you may need to subscribe. Let's get to CC and your voicemail. I think will spark quite a bit of discussion.
G'day, folks. This is CC on the line from Montreal. I have a possible opportunity to visit outside the major metropolis at a point this summer, but I'll be staying in a bunkhouse. And the toilet facilities are an outhouse, and they're some distance away, I would say about 50 meters away, through a grove of trees. Does anybody out there know of an app that I could peg the door to the bunkhouse and then know if I walk a straight line off out of the door so many paces and stop and then turn at an exact 90-degree angle, walk so many paces to get to the outhouse? If you know something that might allow me to mark these three positions, I'd appreciate it very much. Look forward to hearing the feedback from any of you or your listeners. Thanks.
Great question.
Wow.
Brilliant question.
What's a bunkhouse?
I have no idea, but I'm guessing it's...
sounds very rustic. Like a hostel?
A hostel, it sounds like to me. Yeah. I don't know, maybe not the same thing, but yeah, I get the idea of it. Sounds like something that would exist in Canada, right?
Yes.
It sounds like something I'd actually quite enjoy, apart from the outside bathroom. 5-star bunkhouse is the only one I'll ever be found in.
Yes, glamping.
With an ensuite.
Okay, that's a really interesting question. And there's a few different ways you could go here. You could use, as I mentioned earlier, Aira, Be My Eyes, anything like that. Or you could use, I would be tempted, same as a hotel room, I would be tempted to stick an AirTag or something like that to it so it could beep so you could find your way. I know some people, depending on the distance from the bunkhouse to the outhouse, some people would mark it down as a marker in Soundscape or Voice Vista and use that as an audio beacon. There's Clue, which is a indoor navigation app, but I think that would work really well in this case, especially for keeping you on a straight line. Clue is you mark your starting point, and then you walk your route and mark the end point, and then you hold your phone out in front of you, and it will guide you to the end point. It's very, very good. So, maybe Clue would be worth a look before you actually go.
I remember when we were in Vienna, was it Vienna or maybe another time you and I were together and you tried this, was it that app or was it the Seeing AI feature?
I used, I believe it was Clue at that time, yes, hotel room to the lift.
And how did you find that? I mean, how did you find the accuracy of it each time?
The accuracy was really good, actually, but the problem I came across was just recording the routes in the first place, either just taking the time to walk the route the first time and record it, but mainly it was setting a starting point. So the way that this app works, and oh, by the way, I should say Seeing AI also has this feature, navigation feature in it, but the way that Clue works, or at least used to, I haven't used it in a while, is that you would have to set a starting point. And it would tell you to put your phone on a flat surface, and that would be the starting point. And from there, that fixed position, it would be able to work out the rest of your route. And as you walk the route, it would say steps coming up in 10 feet or move left, turn right, things like that. Very, very good. But sometimes I would struggle to set that starting position, get it locked in. The way that Seeing Eye did it when I tried that one was that instead of putting your phone down on a flat surface somewhere, it would just say spin around basically. You turn around with the camera in front of you and it would map out the 360 environment around you and make a starting point automatically. I did really like that, but with Seeing AI, it didn't give me as much information en route. It was just constantly giving me audio cues rather than actual vocals telling me, you know, steps coming up or turn left. So I struggled with that one. A mixture of the two would have been great. But again, I haven't tried these apps in a while, so your experience may be much improved by now. But it's definitely a very, very useful feature that you should check out. Definitely check it out before you intend to use it, though, just so you can get used to it.
Okay. I think that's an interesting one. Everything you say there, I would agree with. And I was, we were talking before we came on, and I said, there's a question from CC. I'm not playing it to you in advance. You're going to hear it on air, and I bet I know what you'll say. And I thought you were just going to say AirTag. That was exactly what I thought you were going to say. But you're right. There's all these other apps that can do it. And it isn't just about the beep. It's about the trip. Essentially, you want to make sure you're on the same path each time as well.
Yeah, that's right.
The other thing to consider, I guess, is internet access or Wi-Fi or phone signal. That could be a problem. So you maybe need to think about something like Clue, where it's not reliant on that, I'm guessing.
That's
it's
a
not
very good any, point. Yeah, actually, I don't know signal. If Clue needs internet connection or not. That's a very good point. That's where, I mean, would AirTags matter on that point? Does it use the internet or does it do would it do a Bluetooth connection?
It's Bluetooth, isn't it? Doesn't it just Bluetooth back to the device? And that's how it keeps, you know, keeps going. It just kind of keeps.
Not entirely sure. But yeah, no, that's an excellent point. Everything there, I think, is very internet based. Hey, this is one we throw out and get our listeners. Maybe there's a low tech solution here. Bit of string.
And on that, string, just pulling on it. That's the way to do it. Are those things you get for the keys? You just whistle at them and they start beeping. You know, that kind of thing. Just walking around whistling all day.
Yeah.
Like echolocation, but for whistling things.
For toilets.
Yeah, echolocation for toilet. Before we go, a couple of answers to the question that Red sent in to us. Red, of course, the host of My Life in Books, Red Sale. He asked about accessible guitar tuners and accessible, is his bass, isn't it? His bass?
He's learning the bass guitar, yes.
Bass guitar, yeah, that's it. So here's what Greg in Pennsylvania has to say on this.
The absolute best accessible guitar tuner is Talking Tuner for iOS. It's a true chromatic tuner that listens to the note you play and tells you how flat or sharp it is, or if it's in tune. Works best if you wear headphones while using the app. The best for Android is Tuner G-String. It's accessible, but nowhere near as useful as Talking Tuner for iOS. When I bought Talking Tuner years ago, I think it was $10 US. Greg in Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Greg. And Gordon on this as well.
Hi, guys. In relation to Red Zell's question about accessible guitar tuning, the app I use is called Metronome. I got it from the App Store years ago, and I think it was either free or very cheap. The main point of Metronome is to play a regular beat to keep you in rhythm, but it also has a tuning function which plays a constant tone of the note you select. The app is fully accessible and quite easy to figure out. I hope that helps. Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate that. And also thank you to Greg as well for mentioning your answers to that. We'll pass them on to Red and let you know what he thinks. But yeah, he's very keen to make sure he can get access to that. And I mean, there's so many apps out there, but it's the accessibility that's always the question, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I tended to use the smart speaker, Lady A. If you ask to tune a guitar, it will play the various string notes in sequence, and then you can just tune with it. I mean, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit hit and miss because you're using your ear rather than being told it's 10 cents flat or whatever. But it works.
Final comment from Tom. He wants to share a blind blunder.
Hello all. Even though this blind blunder happened before I was diagnosed with RP, it had to do with night blindness. I think it counts. So years ago, I was working in construction, and one day I was meeting my crew for lunch at a restaurant. I was a little late, and I went on in, and I went from bright sunlight into really dark room, and I couldn't see a thing.
Oh.
So I go on in and slide into the booth. So I pick up a menu and say, "What looks good today?" And about that time, little alarm bells start going off in my head. My eyes were starting to adjust a bit, and I look up and see two young women sitting in the booth with me with their eyes wide open looking at me. My crew were sitting at another booth. And of course, they see me do this and they think, "All right, boss, but if you knew me, that would be the last thing I would have done." Love the show. You have a good balance of humour and some tech and some issues with blindness. Oh, and Stephen, you talked about leaving your keys in your front door and then not being able to get out of your house. I mean, wow. What if the ice cream truck came? Tom from Oregon.
That would be a tragedy, quite frankly, Tom. Although I would kind of hope the ice cream truck man could open the door for me and give me my keys back. That would be my thing. Yeah, this door is a bit of a bane of my life.
I miss the ice cream van. I haven't got...
You don't have that anymore?
Yes, no, I still got it. I just haven't built up the confidence to try and find the little window at the side yet.
You just walk around. The kids will tell you. The kids are always...
That's the other thing.
I
don't want to step on children. I mean, you know. And do they take Apple Pay? I don't carry cash.
Ice cream pay, isn't it? don't take Apple Pay at that place. No, certainly not.
Blind blunder.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you to everybody for your comments. As always, they mean so much to us, and we get so much of your feedback. We try to get through as much of it as we can, you know, between our rambles as well.
Yes.
Coming up, we'll get more of your feedback on tomorrow as well. Don't forget, of course, you can catch up with all of our content on our website, doubletaponair.com. If you want even more from Double Tap, more please, there's Double Tap on YouTube. You can find that, oddly enough, on YouTube, which is the world's largest video sharing site. You can get there going to youtube.com/@doubletapvideo. You've got to get that right, otherwise it doesn't work. Yeah, thank you. Go check it out. Lots of more conversations there you can enjoy. Sean, thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen Scott. Bye-bye.
You're amazing. You're the best.
Let's stop it. No.
Oh,
no,
you're
stop
just,
it.
Oh, no, sorry, you are. Hang on. I'll just put this. I'll put this mirror down. You are beautiful.
Bye-bye.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Joita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.